You're listening to SBS News.
Senior Pentagon officials told Washington's House Armed Services Committee the collapse of the Afghan government and its security forces in August could be traced to a 2020 U.S. agreement with the Taliban that promised a complete U.S. troop withdrawal. General Frank McKenzie, the head of Central Command, explained that the Doha Agreement, in which the U.S. promised to fully withdraw its troops by May of this year, affected the Afghan government and the military.
I think the Doha Agreement and the signing of the Doha Agreement had a really pernicious effect on the government of Afghanistan and on its military, psychological more than anything else, but we set a date certain for when we were going to leave and when they could expect all assistance to end. So for the first time, there was something out there in front of them.
In the Doha Agreement, the Taliban agreed to stop attacks on American and coalition forces if U.S. troops left Afghanistan. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin says the agreement caused the Taliban to increase its offensive against Afghan security forces.
As a part of that agreement, we agreed to cease conducting air operations against the Taliban. So the Taliban got stronger. They increased their offensive operations against the Afghan security forces. And the Afghans were losing a lot of people on a weekly basis. In addition to that, We caused them to release 5,000 prisoners, and those prisoners, many of those prisoners, went back to fill the ranks of the Taliban. So they got a lot stronger. They continued their attacks. We got smaller.
General McKenzie said once the U.S. troop presence fell below 2,500, the unraveling of the U.S.-backed Afghan government accelerated.
We felt that it's been my position and my judgment that if we went below an advisory level of 2,500, I believed that the government of Afghanistan would likely collapse and that the military would follow. And one might go before the other, but I believe that was going to be the inevitable result of drawing down to zero. And I've expressed that opinion in writing for quite a while. Now, so taking a look at that, that was sort of my best judgment on that. I believe that So going below 2,500, I think, was the other sort of nail in the coffin, if you will, that allowed that the Afghan government, that led to conditions where, first of all, we could no longer see what was happening to the force because our advisors were no longer down there with those units.
The hearing was politically charged with Republicans seeking to cast President Joe Biden as wrongheaded on Afghanistan and Democrats pointing to what they called ill-advised decisions during the Trump years. House Armed Services Committee ranking member Representative Mike Rogers says the U.S. withdrawal was an extraordinary disaster of epic proportions.
On August 31st, hundreds of Americans left behind, the 13 service members murdered. The president stood in the East Room of the White House and called the withdrawal, quote, an extraordinary success, close quote. I fear the president is delusional. This wasn't an extraordinary success. It was an extraordinary disaster. It will go down in history as one of the greatest failures of American leadership.
Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, had said a day earlier in a similar hearing in the Senate that the war in Afghanistan was a strategic failure, and he repeated that.
It is clear, it is obvious to all of us that the war in Afghanistan did not end on the terms that we wanted, with the Taliban now in power in Kabul. Although the NEO was unprecedented, and as the largest air evacuation in history, it was a tactical, operational, and logistical success, evacuating 124,000 people. The war was a strategic failure.
General Milley told the Senate committee that it had been his personal opinion that at least 2,500 U.S. troops were needed to guard against the collapse of the Kabul government and a return to Taliban rule. Defying U.S. intelligence assessments, the Afghan government and its army collapsed in mid-August, allowing the Taliban, which had ruled the country from 1996 to 2001, to capture Kabul with what General Milley described as a couple of hundred men on motorcycles, and without a shot being fired. That triggered the frantic U.S. effort to evacuate American civilians, Afghan allies, and others from Kabul airport. This week's House and Senate hearings marked the start of what is likely to be an extended congressional review of the U.S. failures in Afghanistan after years of limited congressional oversight of the war and the hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars it consumed. On the same day the House Armed Services Committee hearing was being held, Italian Premier Mario Draghi announced an extraordinary meeting of the G20 on Afghanistan would be held on the 12th of October and would discuss the growing humanitarian crisis in the country since the Taliban took control.
Si tratta di vedere.
It will be about looking into shared aims within the whole G20 community, that is the 20 richest countries in the world. First of all, there is a humanitarian urgency. What I keep hearing is that there is humanitarian catastrophe about to unfold because Afghanistan has no support from the rest of the world. I believe we are at the point where we must care only about saving human lives.
The meeting will also discuss efforts to prevent the country from once again becoming the nest for international terrorism. As well as the G20 members, the United Nations, the World Bank, along with Qatar, the Netherlands, and Spain will also participate. Since the Taliban overran Kabul and seized control of the country, Afghans and the world have been watching to see whether they will recreate their harsh rule of the late 1990s. Assalam al-Ghalib, SBS News.